Ford's room, or in the purportedly vacant chamber next door to it. Though he was blind, he didn't need to worry about whether the 6-hour was fully loaded. If a single one of the 15 9mm rounds had been missing from the mag, he'd have known it immediately. Now he was shuffling along, trying to keep his back to the wall of the passage, feeling behind himself with his left hand for the door of the room next to Johannes's. He found it. Locked. The sensation of danger was almost overpoweringly strong. Ryan steadied himself for whatever it was he might face. His shoulder knocked against something. Despite his loss of sight, Ryan's reflexes were still rattler fast, and he had whipped around, reaching with his free hand, and grabbed at the ceramic stand that held the pot and steadied it. He brought up his right hand, the muzzle of his gun tapping against the heavy pot. But the pot didn't fall. Ryan edged around it, closer to Ford's room. He could sense that the door was open. He tried to taste the air. The brackish scent of a subterranean vault was there, and something else, something stale and bitter. And a third smell, hot and salty. It was unmistakable, the scent of blood. Ryan considered turning and fumbling his way back to his own room to wake Christy, get her to wake the others, make sure that everyone was armed and ready for the danger, whatever it might be. Well, he would remain behind, sitting on the bed, blind and useless. He moved closer to the doorway. Suddenly, an incredibly powerful hand gripped his wrist. His fingers opened, and his gun fell to the carpet. The smell of dirt and decay became so intense that Ryan nearly vomited. He reached for the hilt of the panga sheathed on his hip before realizing that he'd left it behind in the bedroom. The grip on his lower arm was numbing. No normal human could have such strength. He tried to snatch it where the man's groin might be, but his hand became entangled in material and was easily parried. A second hand reached for his throat. Ryan felt himself actually lifted clear of the floor and pressed against the paneled wall so that he couldn't even kick out at his enemy. He was helpless, blood pounding in his ears and behind his eyes, his tongue feeling like it had swollen. All of his friends were within a scant dozen yards of him, and not one of them would know of his passing. Though he was trying to flail with his fists at the man holding him, his blows seemed to be filled with cotton candy and had no effect at all. There was little pain, except for the pressure on his throat. His eyes seemed to be on the edge of exploding from its socket. There was blood on his face and neck, seeping from eye, ears, mouth, and nose. Then, Ryan wasn't aware of anything. He seemed to be swimming on a secret ocean, rising and falling in the slow, measureless swell. There was a gray shadow on the sea, and gray clouds floating over his head. Not a hint of sunlight. It was very quiet and peaceful, and Ryan found himself content to drift. The fact that he was slowly sinking into the cold water didn't matter. The sooner that happened, then the better it would be. No more pain.
Ryan!
It would be good to finally rest.
Come on, man!
Something brushed against his shoulder, jerking him around in a most uncomfortable way. Ryan screwed up his face and tried to push the creature away.
By the three Kennedys, come back to us!
The voice was familiar to Ryan, but it was a puzzle why Dr. Tanner should be out on the rolling billows with him. And why would good old Doc be behaving like such a bastard, ruining Ryan's rest?
I know you can hear me, Ryan. Do make an effort. Your attacker might return and complete his murderous task at any moment. Wake up!
Fuck off, Doc.
Excellent, my dear fellow, excellent. Let the anger flow, Master Corder, up to the surface.
It really was Doc, and he was struggling to lift Ryan into a sitting position. Ryan remembered being thrown against a wall, and the fingers like steel traps circling his throat.
Triple strong, Doc.
The men who did this to you?
Yeah. Shoot first. Go wake the others.
I wouldn't care to leave you here.
Ryan opened his eye, and for a moment he thought he detected a flicker of golden light above him, like the bright flames of a torch on the wall. But when he closed his eye and opened it again, the light was gone into the dark. He slipped back into unconsciousness.
Ah!
When he came around again, he was lying on a bed. He sensed a number of people surrounding him.
Christy?
Here, lover. Don't try and talk. Your throat's been badly bruised. Mildred thinks the voice box could have been damaged if Doc hadn't come along.
Yeah, thanks, Doc.
Think nothing of it, my dear friend. I only wish I had come a little earlier when my trusty Lamar could have killed your lethal enemy.
You see him?
No. When I ventured into the corridor, my door stuck and I had to push it hard for several seconds. I don't know what woke me. You were lying down at the far end, in the darkness, beneath a wall lamp. I thought you dead.
Not yet.
You got any idea what hit you, Ryan? The attic door was locked and the shutters and bars in place. Could only have come in from the lower floors, from outside the house.
No. Attic door was open.
Locked when Doc fetched us to you.
Is everyone safe? Is Dean there?
Sure, Dad.
Four not here.
Anyone see him?
Doesn't look like anyone saw him. Too worried about you. Guess he must still be in his room. Probably slept right through the trouble.
Ryan swung his legs over the side of the bed. A hand reached out and steadied him.
The noise I heard was right by his room, and I was outside it when I was attacked.
I go look.
No, not on your own. JP, go with him. Take the Uzi. Whatever got me isn't going to be stopped by a single bullet. I never felt such strength and raw power in my whole life.
Should we all go? Safety in numbers and all that stuff.
No. We were told not to wander at night. We can find out in the morning what might have happened. Less disturbance now, the better.
Might be a clue on the movie that Johannes took.
Ryan reached and rubbed at his sore neck.
I'd forgotten the film. He was pleased, wasn't he? Said he discovered something that would amaze us. And that he'd done some secret filming.
Thomas Cornelius knew about the film. And Johannes wondered how he knew, remember?
Sure. And something woke me. Something down that end.
It didn't wake the rest of us. I slept much more deeply than usual. And I got a headache behind the eyes. You think we might have been...
drugged. Those pretty sweet liqueurs Norman offered.
But we all had some of that. How come Dad woke up when he did?
Because I never finished my drink. I gave it to you, lover, didn't I?
Yes, you did. Gaia, I don't like the smell of all this, friends.
JB stood.
You ready, Jack?
Sure.
Then let's go recon.
Ryan sat again, waiting quietly for the two friends to return. The attack had left him close to the edge of clinical shock, and he wished that he could have something hot and sweet to drink. It struck him that he didn't even know how much of the night had gone by.
What's the time?
Close on 5. The light through yonder window is beginning to break, and it is the dawn.
Want to lie down, Ryan?
No, thanks, Mildred. Throat's feeling a little bit better.
He decided not to mention the illusion that he'd had out in the passage after the near throttling, the moment when he thought that he could see the light of the torch. Since it hadn't lasted long enough for him to even hope, there seemed no point in mentioning it to the others. There was no conversation while they waited for Jack and JB to return. Mildred walked quietly over to the door and peered along the gloomy corridor.
Nothing. Looks like they must have gone into Ford's bedroom.
Ryan lay down, straining his hearing to try to catch any sound from outside. But both JB and Jack were masters at silent movement, and they were back in the room with the door closed behind them before he heard any clue to their return.
He all right? Is Johannes all right?
He's chilled.
Master Ford is dead? How can he be dead?
Easy. He murdered.
Should I go look? Anything I could do for him?
Nothing. We tried to close his eyes, but they were so wide the lids wouldn't clamp down. He'd been butchered. Seems likely it was the same man or men that Ryan encountered in the passage.
Any signs that the murderer was really strong?
Yeah. Head turned clear around to look over the back. Spine snapped like a dry twig. Beaten. Ribs so broke the jagged end stuck out through the skin.
Arms broken. Thigh bone protruding through the pants he'd been wearing. Face was bruised and black as a high plains thundercloud. Doubt that you'd have recognized him if you hadn't known.
Drying blood all over the bed. Came from eyes and nose and ears and mouth, as well as places where bone snapped out of the skin. Nasty.
Jack went to the corner of the room and poured himself a cup of water from the blue and white bowl. He dashed some of the water onto his face. The armorer sat on the bed beside Ryan, touching him on the shoulder.
One other thing.
His films and stuff.